Hello and welcome to the Methodist Podcast, published on the 30th of June, 2022. The Methodist Conference has been taking place in Telford over the last few days, and in this week's Methodist Podcast, we'll be catching up with the newly inducted President and Vice President of the Methodist Conference, and we'll be talking to Lord Botang, who delivered this year's Beckley Lecture. The Reverend Dr. Jonathan Hustler is the Secretary of the Methodist Conference, and he works closely with the President and Vice President, playing an important part in the oversight and leadership of the Methodist Church. Jonathan, welcome to the podcast. You've been looking after this year's Methodist Conference. How's it felt for you?
Good to be here, Mike. It's gone well. It's been a very busy few days, But there's been a real buzz around the conference centre. People have been very pleased to be in Telford. I think they've been glad to be back together. It's been really good to see the exhibition and to have those big events over the weekend. But as I say, it's been a very busy week.
And for you, what have been the highlights of the conference this year so far?
Well, the highlights are always the conference weekend. Induction of our President and Vice President, the conference service when we receive our ordinance and others into full connection, and the ordination services. So we had a weekend of joy and celebration.
And what about the challenges for you from the conference for this year?
There have been two challenges. One has been the weight of the business. We've had an awful lot of business to do, partly because we haven't been able to do all that we'd wanted to over the last 2 years, and partly because we recognise that we're in a moment of transition as a church. We are having to accommodate ourselves to being a smaller church than we were, and we've therefore had some very difficult and very challenging conversations about what that means for the size of the conference itself and for the number of districts, and we've got a lot of work ahead as we process the decisions that we've made or not made this week. The other has been the difficulty that we have faced as we are not out of the pandemic. And we have learned that people have been suffering from COVID while we've been here, and that has been a difficulty. And we've had to be very careful, and even with care, unfortunately, we've seen some cases.
And as we go forward from the Methodist Conference, what's your message to the Methodist people this year?
First of all, the message is to pray for our President and Vice President and for our President and Vice President designate. We were delighted to designate Jill and Kerry. Our President has spoken about the great commandment, love God, love neighbour, loving self. And our Vice President has called us to revival. And I think the message that goes from this conference is that if we can be faithful to that great commandment, we will see our church grow in its depth of its love, in the strength of its witness, and in the reach that it has.
On Saturday, the Reverend Canon Graham Thompson, Chair of the Plymouth and Exeter District, was elected and inducted as the President of the Methodist Conference, along with the new Vice President, Anthony Botang, a local preacher from the London District. We asked each of them the same set of questions, and I began by asking Graham where he finds hope.
So where do I find hope? That's such a good question. And there are lots of answers. I'm one of those people who loves to be by the sea. I love to hear the sound of the tide crashing on the rocks. I find great hope in creation. I'm not a gardener, but I love to see a garden that someone's worked really hard on. And as the flowers nod in the wind, I find hope. I find hope in other people. As a extrovert, it's just great to be with other people. And of course, one of the things the pandemic has done is excluded us from lots of people who, for me, have been hope givers. So it's been great to reconnect since the restrictions were lifted. And I find hope in the scriptures. It's a great treasury, a great wealth of the stories of the people of God and the messages of God to God's people that give hope. And I find hope in my relationship with God, the one who sustains and nurtures me day by day, even when I don't realise it. So my hope is in God and in all the things that God has given us to enjoy this wonderful world.
Tell me about your faith journey.
My journey of faith began at home as a child. My father started to take us to Sunday school when we were 3 years old. So I've grown up with the stories of Jesus and the life of the Methodist Church to which we were taken. And that continued on until my teenage years, when my mother left and our family life was turned upside down. And although I'd been in the life of the church all of that time, I decided it wasn't for me anymore. I was rescued by the Crusader movement, and it was through them that I made my first Christian commitment. And then I returned to the Methodist Church, and the church has nurtured me ever since. Through the ministry of the minister who turned up soon after I'd made my Christian commitment, a guy called Peter Willis, I and many others were nurtured in the faith. I received a call to be a local preacher, which I responded to quickly as a late teenager. And then I decided, I decided that my Christian ambition was to be the first Christian accountant in Manchester to make £1 million and give it all away. That was going to be my vocation. Then God called me to be a Methodist minister. I was not happy about it. I fought God for several months. It was the most miserable time in my relationship with God. And when I finally gave in to God's will, that was the one moment in my life, I've never quite experienced it since, when I felt as though a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. That was a moment of confirmation. And that confirmation has gone on throughout the 30 odd years of my ministry. And God has been incredibly patient with me, let's say that. And my faith journey has taken me to many different parts of the country, and the privilege of ministering to a great many different people. And I have continued to journey with God and to be formed into the person that I believe God wants me to be. But I also think I've been a bit of a stumbling block to God's ways and means sometimes. So, yeah, I'm still on a journey, and I know that that will continue eternally.
Graham, what does justice mean to you?
Justice. It's a great word. And it's very current, absolutely correctly, that it should be current in the life of the church. And we're called by God to be justice seekers. And justice for me is about living and loving the way that God wants us to live and to love. I hold to the essential tenet and truth of our faith that Christ died for all. And we put the full stop after the all. We don't add any qualifications as to who all is. And therefore, all are included. And therefore, if everybody is good enough for God, then everybody should be good enough for everybody else. And we shouldn't start putting limits, and we shouldn't start be describing people as being different in any way whatsoever. And we need to be as inclusive as God is inclusive. And we need to be as justice-seeking as our God calls us to be.
And what will you be asking of the Methodist people this year?
When I spoke to the conference, I shared something of the theme that the Vice President, Anthony Boateng, and I have agreed on for this current year. The short strap line is the greatest commandment. And it's based on the conversation that a lawyer has with Jesus about what is the greatest commandment. And the greatest commandment is to love God. The second is like it, to love your neighbour as you love yourself. And so the message that I particularly want to share with the Methodist people this year is a reminder of the greatest commandment, that what we are called to do and be is those who love God. And that's our first calling as those created in God's image. And we express our love of God by loving our neighbour as much as we love ourselves. And so I also want to include in that a strong emphasis on worship, and particularly as we return to the life of the church, following all the restrictions, that we do give a primary focus to worship, getting our worship life right, and then other things will fall into place. Also, that our concerns for our communities should mirror our concerns for ourselves, that we love our neighbours as much as we love ourselves, but also to appeal to the Methodist people to love themselves just as much as God loves them. And so it's quite a wide agenda. But the one thing that I do particularly want to encourage Methodists to do is to speak positively about God and positively about the life of the church, because it does break the hearts of Christian people when we hear our sisters and brothers moaning, complaining about God or about the church. And when we do that outside of the church, then we do God and the church a disservice. So let's be positive about all that God's blessed us with, and let's enjoy God together.
The new Vice President of the Methodist Conference is Anthony Botang, and we asked him the same set of questions, beginning with where Anthony finds hope.
Where do I find hope? Personally for me is when I see the church coming together like this, United Church, when I see friends and family showing all the support that they can offer, when I look around post-COVID and I see that people are able to return to normal, that for me gives me great hope. It gives me great hope also when I see, in light of Partygate, you know, leadership being challenged in order to be more transparent. I think that really gives me, you know, makes me really happy to see that.
Anthony, what does justice mean to you?
For me, justice means a lot. For me, justice means challenging inequality. And this is something which I made mention of very firmly, very strongly in my opening address, which was entitled Revival, the Methodist Dream. Revival, the Methodist Dream. And for me, I think it's about fairness. It's about the church exercising its rightful position within society and challenging things to do with immigration, you know, asylum seekers. It's about challenging food bank. It's about challenging what can the church do in light of, you know, the cost of living crisis. What can the church do when we look at abuse of power from government? For me, it's not about the church trying to play the role of politics, but I think we can work alongside that, and I think that's very important to me.
And tell me about your faith journey.
My journey of faith, that's a very interesting question. It began in Ghana, where, you know, I've always been a Methodist. My family are Methodist. So that's where it began in Ghana. And then when I moved to this country as a minor, I went back to Methodism. However, I wasn't baptized until, I think, July 2012 at my local church at the time, which was Hackney Methodist Church. And this was, I think, right after my bachelor's degree. I had returned home to live at home, and I was just about to start my master's. And I felt like I needed a purpose. I felt like there was something missing. So moving on from there, being baptized, I went and served in leadership. I was trusted to do that at a very young age. And then I moved on from that to train to become a local preacher after receiving a call and a confirmation through a dream. And the rest has been history. And now I sit here having been inducted as the vice president. Being a vice president, it means an awful lot to me. It means that the church has journeyed alongside me and have decided that God has called me to be in this high position. It means that, you know, all the work that God has been doing, preparing me, developing me, and the church, you know, has been, you know, we've done very well at doing that. For me, it also means that I can bring about the vision of revival, you know, my address, Revival the Methodist Dream. It means that we can bring that into fruition. And also it's about empowering young people into a position of leadership. It's about recognizing that ethnic minority, such as myself, who came to this country as a minor, can be entrusted to serve in a leadership position of such stature. So I think it means an awful lot to me, and I think it will mean more so even to the church, at large. So I thank God for that, to have made it possible.
Anthony, what are you going to be challenging the Methodist people to do this year?
What would I be challenging Methodists to do? For me, I think it's about putting young people at the forefront of everything that we do. And that is something I made mention of during my address, Revival the Methodist Dream. And I wholeheartedly believe, I hold a view, I don't hold the view, I hold a view, that a church that does not put young people at the forefront of his work is a dying church. So we have got to get that right. We have got to get it right. And for me, it's also about churches coming together to do work, cluster of churches coming together and coming out with authentic way of worship, coming up with a very vibrant dynamic, because I recognize that we need a change in how we worship. And that is something, when I travel around, when I speak to people, that is something which I'm hearing very loud and clear. So for me, it is absolutely fundamental that we get that change and we get it right. And seeking for that revival, you know, through these cultural fellowship, the Ghanaian Methodist Fellowship is one of them, and there are glimmers, signs of revival happening there. And for me, from my position where I'm sitting, I'm going to be urging the church loud and clear that we need to seek to support creative ideas and signs of revivals like this as much as possible, because that is what's going to sustain us. That is what's going to curb, you know, this drastic decline that we are seeing. And it pains my heart. So there are many things that keeps me, you know, stop me from sleeping. But the decline is very, very important to me. And we have got to find a balance. We have got to find a way to stop that from happening.
Paul Boateng. Lord Boateng was the UK's first black cabinet minister, and for most of his life, Paul has been a Methodist. He's a local preacher, and he also served as a Methodist delegate to the World Council of Churches. Paul gave the Beckley Lecture this year, organised by the Joint Public Issues Team, and one of the fringe events being held at the Methodist Conference taking place in Telford. Paul's speech was entitled Britain, Global Power or Good Neighbour, and looked at Britain's place on the world stage at a time of global growing concern around conflict, contagion and climate change. I caught up with Paul after his speech and, as a Methodist, I asked him how it felt to be back at the Methodist Conference.
Always challenging, always, however, a sense that we are part of one connection. I mean, it's surprising the number of people who you meet who you haven't seen for ages, and yet when you meet, you know you are connected. And that's always actually a joyful thing. But like all conferences, it's a combination of joy, challenge, exasperation, but mercifully always hope. And that's the key thing, isn't it? We are people of hope. We who follow, seek to follow Jesus Christ. And we bring to our faith a activism. We bring to our faith a passion and a belief that through the power of Christ's love for us, we can make a difference coming together. We can change ourselves and through that change our institutions and our world.
We're here at the Methodist Conference, the decision-making body of the Methodist Church. What would your message be to the people who are in the hall opposite, who some of whom will have listened to you this evening? What can the church do? What can we do as individual Christians?
Well, there's some practical things we can and must do. We need to use our plant better. So our churches need to be put to community use, and we need to organise so that they are available for community use. That's a very practical thing that we can do. We need also to put in place the mechanism by which we are passing resolutions that then lead to action. I mean, I really do want to see us pass resolutions around vaccine equity and equal access to COVID treatments between the global South and the global North. But having passed a resolution, I then want to see us use our power in our pension funds. I want to see us use our power as shareholders. I want to see churches, communities encouraged to write to members of Parliament to engage in the civic process so that we can drive these resolutions into effect. We know it can be done. It was done in the struggle against apartheid and for racial justice. You know, don't let anyone ever tell you that not buying out Spam oranges was a futile act. Actually, it was an extremely, talk to anyone in South Africa, now they'll tell you it was an extremely relevant act to them. The boycott of Barclays was relevant to them. It helped change the situation on the ground in South Africa. These were church-led activities. The Programme to Combat Racism at the World Council of Churches launched in the Methodist Church in Notting Hill. Which we celebrated the 50th anniversary of that, three years ago. That made a fundamental difference in the struggle against apartheid. And we need to as a church, to be geared up for that. We need, too, to be ecumenical in the way in which we operate and not retreat into our own sort of little lager, it's a South African word for a sort of ringing around a defensive circle. It's not about creating a defensive circle around our church and our faith. It's about opening it up in a way that is reaching outward, that is inclusive, and that is focused on loving Jesus. Using and utilizing that love, not just as a sentiment, but as a strategy. So love, not just as a sentiment, but as a strategy. It's not just a soft thing. It has it's about something that is sustainable and sustaining. Yes, it requires a willingness to take risks and to manage those risks. It requires opening ourselves up in a way that exposes our vulnerabilities, because we are vulnerable, we are fallible. But through the power and love of God, great stuff happens, great things happen.
Thank you ever so much for spending the time to chat with us this afternoon, Lord Boateng.
Thank you very much indeed for having me.
The full interview with Lord Boateng can be found on the Methodist Church website, with the Beckley Lecture available on the YouTube channel of the Joint Public Issues Team. If you'd like to watch the events at this year's Methodist Conference, then you can catch up online on the Methodist Church's website and on the YouTube channel. Thank you for listening to this week's Methodist podcast from the Methodist Conference in Telford. From myself, Mike Ivatt, goodbye.